blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing all stanzas of 102. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 through 5 of 102.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 7, beginning with verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven, and Lord of this whole earth and the whole universe, thy own creation, created good, created for thy glory, for thy honor, and man, especially the crown of thy creation, in thy blessed and holy image, to return to thee all that thou didst give unto him, and that thou may be honored and that thou may be glorified, who art worthy of all honor and of all glory. Oh, we try to make confession to Thee. Oh, give it in our hearts, because we do not see even a small portion of our wretchedness, of our misery, but also of our guilt that needs to be opened unto us. As we are traveling in between the cradle and the grave to meet Thee and to stand before Thy judgment seat to give an answer for all of our obligations, when we will have not an answer to a thousand questions, Lord, wilt Thou look on us in Thy mercy? And we can read of Manasseh that Thou didst bring him into the prison, and there he folded his hands and bowed his knees. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, He was God. And we need also our proud and rebellious hearts that are not agreeable to Thy will and to all Thy commandments, that want to go our own way always. Lord, that Thou may give us true sorrow, a true godly sorrow, that we are no longer as Thou didst make us to be, that we might learn to shed hot tears, that we might receive true repentance in our hearts, and for the first time, but also by renewal. Oh, that Thou may grant Thy Spirit to labor mightily in the midst of us as a congregation. As we can read of it years ago, when sometimes Thy servants did preach Thy word, and then there was no outward and great revival, but there was an inward working of Thy Holy Spirit. And when the people began to weep, and when they began to mourn, and when they went out quietly from Thy house, and when they went into their inner chambers, and when Thy word did bring forth fruit by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, it all belongs to Thee. But hast Thou not sent us unto this place, that it may not be for a savor of death unto death, but that it may be a savor of life unto life, and that Thou mayest put away the devices also of the prince of darkness, who devises deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land? For he knoweth also Thy people, for they have left him in their hearts, and they have joined themselves unto Thee. Oh, they have made by Thy Spirit a blessed choice. And we can read that Thou didst say unto him, Thou shalt bruise his heel. And so it is experienced by Thy people, O Lord, that Thou may remember them as he tries to slay Thy people, as he tries to overturn all Thy work, and he cannot do it. But their fears are so many, that Thou may remember them and visit them and help them and encourage them and comfort them, that Thou may visit them with a word, a little token from above, that they might know that Thou knowest of them and where that they are and who that they are, and that thou never forsakest the work of thine own hands. Oh, there are so many mysteries for them, O Lord, and thou knowest how the world goes about rejoicing, and thy people, they go about mourning. Lord, remember thy own church. Oh, draw them more and more to thy blessed footstool, that they might live close to thee, that they could not make a step without thee, that they may be desirous and to be united unto thy holy will in all things whatsoever that may be, and that they may receive rest, and that they may receive peace in their hearts here below already, in the midst of a warfare, a strife, the strife of that militant church who can never of themselves win that battle against sin. Oh, that they might receive more and more an eye upon thee who hast fought and who hast conquered, who hast bruised the head of Satan, and who hast taken away all his power to destroy thy elect, and who wilt receive all the glory from thy own dear children. Magnify thyself, O Lord, and give us also the heart and the words and the clarity to speak of the salvation of the Lord that comes not from men, but in man. It must come deeper and deeper into the pit, with his own work, with his own righteousness, with his own glory, with his own strength, his own wisdom, that he may be delivered by thee, and that thou may be known to be the Savior, the mediator of thy own people. Oh, do it, Lord, for thy name's sake, and that there may go an opening of the mouths of the poor and of the needy ones to say what great things the Lord hath done for my soul. Oh, give that it may be heard by our children, by our youth, and the wonderful works of God unto those who are poor and who are needy and who cannot deliver themselves. Oh, that therefore thou dost send the rich away empty, O Lord. And remember then our youth and our children, work in them. And wilt thou put a fence and a wall about them that we cannot do as fathers and mothers hardly anymore? But wilt thou keep them and give them that true regeneration in the days of their youth that may keep them on every side from much evil and sin for which they will one day be sorry? Oh, may it be that they are sorry already, and with a true godly sorrow in the midst of this world, for that eternal sorrow is a sorrow that can never be wiped away anymore. Remember all thy servants, increase their number, be with them on the mission fields, far away from loved ones in all the difficulties, loneliness, help them, discouragements, when it seems that there is no fruit. Lord, help them and give them thy grace and thy spirit in a rich measure, and work thou mightily as thou alone art able to do. Remember the student and the instructors, help them also. Remember our denomination when we have met as a synod in the last week. O Lord, have thou mercy upon us. For we are a people who have a rich heritage. Thou didst give it unto us. Thy truth, Oh, that we may experience thy truth with our children, else it shall not be precious unto us, and else we will not struggle against the prince of darkness who desires to take it away, and who will continue to fight his warfare that he may not lose his kingdom. Oh, that thou may give thy truth to prevail, that thou would not take away the candlestick of thy word and of thy truth from us and our dear children, as it has been taken away from so many places in the midst of this world, and where it once did shine with a great light, and that light that has been for a great part snuffed out. O Lord, remember and preserve thy truth amongst us, and make us zealous for thy truth, when we may know the blessedness of it in our own hearts. And wilt thou care for the sick and the afflicted, her that received surgery on her hand that recovers, and wilt thou make it well, and all those who have received or continue to receive treatments. Help fathers and mothers, help all the needy ones, those who are childless. Remember those who are addicted to drugs. O Lord, thou knowest where that they are also, and sometimes, also from their hearts goes out a cry to be delivered. But Lord, then Satan is so strong and they cannot come out of his grip. Oh Lord, could it please thee to arise and to deliver them in thy mercy? For thou dost hear the needy, O Lord, when they cry. Oh, save their souls, for death surely draws nigh. Help us in this hour we are round about thy word. Lord, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us clarity, give us a double measure, thy servant did ask, of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, make it evident in this hour, and by the conversion of sinners, by the feeding of thy people, by the glorying of the glorifying of thy holy name, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 143, 1, 2, and 3. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. O wash me wholly from my guilt, and make me clean within. For my transgressions I confess, I ever see my sin. 1, 2, and 3 of 143. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion read to you, Luke 7, and thereof the 47th verse, Luke 7, verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So far the words of our text. Forgiveness and its evidences. First, a weeping sinner. Second, a weeping sinner oppressed. Third, an oppressed, weeping sinner defended and comforted. Forgiveness and its evidences. First, a weeping sinner. Second, a weeping sinner oppressed. Third, an oppressed, weeping sinner defended and comforted. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. That is something, congregation, is it not? That speaks about the forgiveness of sins. Is that not a wonder? Or has that never been to us a wonder? With this parable, the Lord Jesus compares the sin of this woman to a debt. It is something that she owes unto a creditor. Do you have debts in this life? Do you pay your debts? Because your debts, they have something to do with the past. And that which has been passed is still required. That is now the whole idea of a debt. But there are some persons who have debts that come into a great predicament. Why? Because they have a desire to pay their debts, but they are not able. They don't have enough to pay their debts. That is what we call poverty. Poverty. Do we know what that is? And what that feels like for every day a person walking in this world that has debts and feels their obligation, because there are so many who do not feel the obligation of their debts in this day, young people. There are those who have so much debt and they think nothing of it. That is theft. Then you keep what is someone else's, what the Lord has given to someone else. You have no right to that. Then you have an obligation to pay your debt. And when a person feels that obligation, when that is as a weight, a heavy weight on him every day again, and he feels his poverty, that he is so helpless to come out of it, and that he is not able to pay his debts. So that was with this woman. That was not a natural debt, no, that was a spiritual debt. Do we have a spiritual debt? Do we know both kinds of debt? Which kind of debt is greater? Would it be a spiritual debt or a natural debt that is laid upon a person? What do we read of this woman? We read she was a sinner. Are you a sinner? The Lord Jesus says that this is a debt. A debt. Do we feel that? What does that mean? That is pointing, a debt is pointing to what is past. That the things that are past are still owed. That the Lord, He has given to us in our creation something, a perfection of our being that was able to give to Him all that He required, a perfection of service, holiness, righteousness, and we have failed to give it to Him. And that is now a debt whereof we have an obligation. That is not something that can just be wiped away, no. But that is something that is still required of each and every man in this world. How great is your debt? How long has the Lord given you to live? There are some of us that have become old already. How many years has that debt not been increasing? Have you made a small beginning to pay back that debt? Young people, children, you are young. Do you have already a debt? And what are we doing, young people, to increase that debt every single day? Do we think about that? Because every sin in thought, word, and deed will be required of us. That is something that can never be wiped away just simply from the side of man. And who knows that debt? Who knows it? Do you know what we read of this woman? The Lord Jesus said to Simon, her sins are many. He knew it. He knew the woman. What would He now say about us? Who looks directly into our heart and who has seen us from the moment of our birth in the life in this world and who knows everything that has come out of our evil heart in this world and who has kept a record of every sin, a debt. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. That is something, isn't it? Then He speaks about the forgiveness of a debt. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? Where did that very concept come from? The concept of forgiveness, that a person's heaven-high debt could be wiped away. That you say he owes it one moment, he owes it the next moment. He does not owe it anymore. Where does that very concept come from? That a man would not be required anymore to pay back that heaven-high debt. Where does that come from? Does not come from man. That comes from God. That comes from God. never was necessary when we were created. In knowledge, in righteousness, and in holiness, forgiveness is a mercy. It is a mercy. It is connect. Mercies are connected, young people, to whom? That is to the miserable. To the miserable. Especially, particularly, to the poor. Who have nothing to give back to pay their debt. Forgiveness does not belong to the rich. Because the rich, they have it. And if they have it, they have an obligation and they must pay it. No, forgiveness belongs unto the poor. It is a means to deliver a poor man. It is a means to deliver someone who has nothing and who has no ability to get it anymore. It is a means to relieve him of a burden, a great burden, that he can never deliver himself from. And now tell me the Lord is not good. That the Lord is not good. Oh, how is it possible that fallen man can complain about the Lord, can say one single thing, can think one hard thought of God. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And she was a great sinner. She was a great debtor. She owed so much. That was known sin to everyone. That was common knowledge. That woman experienced the greatness of her debt. And she also experienced the greatness of her poverty. You say, well, how can you say that? How do you know that? That she experienced the greatness of her poverty. That is not so hard. Because the Bible says that she stood at his feet behind him weeping. If I have $100 and I owe $5, and someone will say to me, I will pay your $5 debt. Then what do I say? I say, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. But if I have $5 and I owe $100 and someone says, I will now pay your debt for you, then I weep. Then I weep. The weeping of this sinful woman is evidence. It is evidence that the forgiveness of the forgiveness of a debt that she felt that she could never pay, that lay on her as a burden, that was her poverty, her poverty. Do we ever feel something of our poverty? And we cannot mourn and feel something of our poverty if we never feel our responsibility. If we say that debt is nothing, oh, then it matters not if we can pay it or not. But if that responsibility, that obligation is lying on us every day again, Oh, then we feel the weight of that poverty and stood at his feet behind him weeping. Oh, there is so much weeping in this world. Go to the hospital. Also from children, right, boys and girls? You can go to the children's hospital. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Even just the thought that there is a children's hospital. That little children already from their youth have to suffer. They have to suffer. There is so much weeping in the world. That is over pain. It is over suffering. It is mourning. Now a family again mourning. They have to bury a beloved father and a grandfather. But there is so little weeping like this woman's weeping. That woman, she weeps with a weeping that is coming out of her affections. That is what we read here. That is love. Or do you also have love? Do you weep out of love? We don't need to prove that because there are so many evidences and the Lord Jesus states it outright. That is not just a little weeping. No, that woman, she is weeping sufficiently so that her tears are enough that she can bathe the feet of Christ in her tears. She is not standing in front of him. No, because the way that they sat were half lay, then their feet were behind them. And so she had opportunity. Oh, do you ever feel that? That opportunity? We read of another woman in the Bible. She had an issue of blood. Oh, she thought, I don't dare to come in front. Do you not dare to come so boldly because you are a sinner? That you can just creep up behind. We read of this woman that she wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. Can you imagine that, ladies? Can you imagine that? Paul says, that is your glory, the hair of your head. Will you not take that glory down and use it as a rag to wipe the filth of this world off of the blessed holy feet of that mediator? Oh, that woman, what can she do for him? Oh, she cannot bow low enough for him. And kissed his feet. Oh, you say that is for his cheek. No, not for that woman. Not for that woman. And why not? She is a sinner. Are you a sinner? She feels that. And anointed them, we read, with the ointment. Costly. That comes out of her own goods. Oh, but she is so willing and precious and sweet and soothing for those suffering feet already of that blessed Savior. Oh, that woman. She cannot bow low enough. Oh, she'd like to give everything that she has unto that Savior. You do not read that she spoke a single word. She only weeps. Do you know such a life? That you have no words? Maybe that was even in the very beginning of that new life. That you have felt that that can be felt by a little child. Oh, then they are sitting in that house of God, and the love, oh, the love of the Lord poured out in their soul. And now to express that, oh, to say what that is, oh, sometimes they say, I just sit. And do they express that then? Do they express that? Well, they do. Because every time there is a service of the Lord, then they're sitting there. That is an expression. Maybe when there is a funeral, oh, then they're sitting there. Oh, better they say to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And the love, oh, the love. But, oh, how can that mouth also go so closed in the life of God's people? In the discovery, like this woman, in the discovery of sin, then there are confessions. Where? Oh, they are confessions on their knees. Then they are going in their inner chamber. And then they are telling the Lord everything. They can start. Did you ever try to do that, boys and girls? You start in the beginning of the day and you say, oh, Lord, it was this and that and that and that and that. Or don't you ever think about that? All the things of your mind, the words that you spoke today, the things that you did today, the vanity of your heart today. Do you ever tell the Lord that? When you bend your knees at the end of the day. And now, did you ever come to an end of confessing all that unto the Lord? That you don't even know what to say anymore? Because you say, I confessed it yesterday, and the day before, and the day before. And what shall I now say today? Because it doesn't change. And when I will tell it to the Lord again, I am nothing but a hypocrite. And I say that I am sorry, but I am not sorry. Because if I was sorry, I would leave that life. Oh, did you ever bow your knees and have no words? That you just weep. That you just weep before the Lord. Do you know what David says? He says, the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Weeping has a voice that is a prayer, that is a cry. When a man does not have any words anymore, he says, the Lord heard that voice and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And why? Because she has seen something in him. Otherwise, she does not go to him. But she has seen something in him. Or she was taught her debt by his preaching. She was taught her poverty. She has felt the inability to pay for that past life. That it was all beyond her fixing. And then you know what she heard about? Out of his blessed mouth. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Oh, she has heard him speak about mercy. about mercy. And do you know what she felt then? Oh, she saw a beautiful suitability in him for her. Now, only for others, our Father say, but also for me. Also for me. Oh, so suitable. And when he is so suitable, he is so precious unto her. Her soul goes out to him. There is now a holy longing for him. There is a holy need for him. With her great debt, we say, a weeping sinner at the feet of Christ. Is that not beautiful? Did you ever come so? Did you ever come so before him? There was not everyone who thought it so beautiful. No, we see that here in our second thought, a weeping sinner oppressed. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner, a weeping sinner oppressed. She is attacked. That is what the Lord said to the devil that he was going to do. You're going to attack the heel of Christ. That is the church of Christ. And he attacks Christ himself. Because if he can attack Christ, then he is attacking also his church. No, Simon does not say that openly. We read that Simon says that in his heart. That is where it begins. All that evil. What does the Lord say? Oh, he said, out of the heart proceeds all that wickedness. There it starts, and it's like a little bud. When it is in the heart, and soon it is said to someone else, and it goes further. And then other people, they begin to attack too. Attack whom? The people of the Lord. Or is there anything valid in what Simon here says, or what he thinks? Indeed, there is something valid in it. That is many times how that the devil is bringing the error into the church. He takes something that is true and he twists it and turns it around and makes it something false. What did David say? He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Who are your friends, young people? Who are they? We say that we can tell who you are if you just tell me who your friends are. Who are your friends? Are you now permitted by the Lord to be a friend of anyone in the whole world? Are you permitted to do that? What do you think? No, you are not permitted to do that. Paul writes that I have written unto you not to keep company if any man be a brother. He says, well, not of the world, of course, because otherwise we'd have to go out of the world. If we could not have any company at all, if you could not do business in the midst of the world. But he speaks about there a man that is a brother. if he be a fornicator, if covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Not to eat. What does that mean? Well, that means when a person is living in a wicked way, that person will influence us. Do you think so, young people? That he can be an influence to you? It is so, because we are people. We are impressionable. So to live, to walk with him, to stand with him, to sit with him, to play with him, to and so on. We live with him, we do with him, we act with him, we enjoy with him, and so on. We live with him. Then what are we doing? Then we are placing ourselves in temptation. And the Lord says that we may not place ourselves in temptation. That is sin. There is a second thing. Paul speaks about our brother. Our brother. That is, when he will leave the truth, when he will walk in all kinds of wickedness, then out of love to our brother, there has to come a change in our relationship. Why? Because if we act as if nothing is wrong, then he thinks nothing is wrong. No, there is something wrong. And you may not live that way. And when I will not sit with you and walk with you, no, then you must feel it. That's Christ. You know the Pharisees, they say, he sits and eats with publicans and sinners. And he is doing against the word of God. He is walking with them, he is standing with them, he is sitting with the scorners. Is that so? Is that what Christ was doing? Was he joining them that he may partake in their iniquity? Was he acting as if nothing was wrong? No, he was not doing that. If he was doing that, it was sin. And he is holy. He is harmless. He is undefiled. And he is separate from sinners. Separate. Otherwise, he had sinned. But does that mean now that a missionary is not allowed to go onto a mission field? Oh, you say that is foolish. Of course he may go there. And of course he may sit with that people, because he is not joining them, but he is telling them, he is trying to draw them away from their sin. No, Pharisees, no, Simon, the Lord Jesus was not sinning here. You turn it all upside down, and you are so hard. So hard. Why? Because this woman is weeping. She is weeping. With grief, with sorrow for his sin. Oh, but the devil, he has no pity. He has no compassion. What did the Pharisees say to Judas? Oh, what a misery he was in. When that came to him, what he had done. And even in a natural way, that man goes to the officers of the church. He is crying out for their help. Oh, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And now that devilish answer. What is that to us? See thou to that. Oh, young people. I should not say just young people. congregation. What shall that be? The devil, he is promising us everything in this world. Oh, that money, 30 pieces of silver. To betray the Lord. And he will leave you in the lurch. He will leave you in the lurch. In the end, in hell, when you are crying out under your misery, then he is going to say to you the same. What is that to me? See thou to that. Oh, is that now the way of Christ? Is that the way of Christ? It is not the way of Christ. His way is exactly the opposite. He is so ready to forgive a man. That is the very reason that he came into this world. So full of pity, so full of compassion to give himself for that people. That is the reason his own father has now sent him into this world. Oh, let him hear with Joseph just for a moment the confession of his brethren in their guilt and in their misery, and his bowels, they are yearning that he may reveal himself unto his people. Oh, he is so ready to come to the aid of this woman, which was a sinner. In her wretchedness, in her weeping, to defend her from the self-righteous and to comfort her. But let us sing first. 72:1-3. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1 and 3 of Psalter 72. Thank you. forgiveness and its evidences, a weeping sinner. A weeping sinner oppressed. And in our third thought, an oppressed weeping sinner, defended and comforted. Simon, I've somewhat to say unto thee. The Lord comes to the aid of his oppressed church. His church does not need to defend themselves. No, he will stand for his church. Satan says, your sin is too great to be forgiven. Are you old? Are you old? You look today over your whole life and you say, what a debt, what a debt, what a debt. There is the devil. There is the devil right there. He said, it's too great. It is too big. Do you have an answer? No. No, all you can say is, I think so too. I don't see any way. The church has no answer, but Christ has an answer for his people. What does he say to Simon the Pharisee? He says, Simon, you see that woman? She has more evidences of the grace of God in her, that sinful woman, than you do, Simon. You have a nice confession, but you lack the fruits, the evidences of love in your heart. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Thus Christ declares all these fruits of love that were made so evident, which were experienced by himself, all those fruits of love, he says they are evidences of the grace of God. He does not say, she has loved, therefore she is forgiven as the cause. Her love is the cause, and therefore I forgive her. No, he does not say that. He says just the opposite. He says she is forgiven. And that is now why I declare unto you that her fruits are making themselves evident in her life. Thus Christ declares God to be the cause. He says it is a one-sided work. That is all coming from the Lord. Everything that you see now in the life of this woman that is missing in your life, Simon. I cannot see that. There are no fruits of love. But now in the life of this woman, and then he even speaks here about the degrees of love. He says that is proportionable to that forgiveness. It is related to that forgiveness. Because a person who loves, who is forgiven much, loves much. Who is forgiven little, loves little. That is not so easy for God's church when the Lord says to them, turn again, and I will show you more abominations than these. Deeper and deeper and deeper. Until they are given to see that their whole existence is sin. Why does the Lord lead His people so? Because that is a difficult life. To see over and over again that there is still corruption. All that is necessary. Why? To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And the deeper that the Lord is leading His people into their own sin, the more love that He is going to extract from them, as it were. Boston says that the song of the redeemed shall be a pitch higher than the song of the elect angels, because they know from what they have been delivered. Mercy, grace that makes them sing higher than the angels. And now what does the Lord say to Simon? He says, Simon, by their fruits you shall know them. And now I can see the fruits in that sinful woman. When does the Lord forgive His people? They are forgiven already from eternity. That is based on that covenant between the Father and the Son, that covenant of redemption, the forgiveness of the church that is lying in the promise of the Father and the Son, that the Son will do what He has contracted to do for His people, that the Father will help Him, strengthen Him to finish, and that the Father is going to accept and what the Son has done for the sake of His church. They are forgiven on the basis of that already from eternity. But all this now has to become manifest in the time. What do you think? Do you think that that woman saw the fruits that Christ was speaking about? Do you think that she saw them herself? No, she didn't. Our fathers used to say, God's people, they carry a light upon their back, upon their back. And it can be seen, but they cannot see. So often, they see so much of the sin and the hypocrisy of their own heart that they are not able to receive the comforts of the Lord. Oh, sometimes then the Lord is coming to speak directly unto His oppressed church, to apply His own word unto their soul. He has been speaking here to Simon, and you can imagine that what that was for that woman. She has heard now everything that the Lord Jesus is saying unto Simon, and she did not even know, because He had said it in his heart. She did not even know how the forces from hell, they had gathered against her And now she may see, she may hear something, how that Christ, he is defending her. Oh, did you ever read that in the Word of God? Did you ever see? Because God's Word is full of that. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, then you can read how that the Lord is defending his oppressed church. But you know, sometimes the eyes of that oppressed people are so full of tears that they are not able to see clearly. The Lord, he turns now. He turns unto this woman and he speaks to that woman, "Oh, blessed mediator, blessed redeemer, blessed savior of his weeping people." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Oh, they are cleared. She is cleared of that great debt. It is not only a man, but she hears that out of the mouth of the Savior himself. You will say, that is not the task of the Savior. Is that not the task of the judge? When you come in a court, is it not the judge who speaks? And he speaks peace unto his people. He forgives their sins on the basis, you say, that Savior, that intercessor, that surety, he is speaking unto that judge. And the judge is doing the forgiveness of the sins. And that is true. That is true. But she is not in the court at the moment. No, Christ is here not in the court. Christ is speaking and he is dealing here on earth with one of his own people. With one of his own lambs. And he, of course, knows her. He knows her. Because he knows all his people. But those evidences, he has just spoken about them. It is as if he says, "Oh, can you all not see that? Can you all not understand that? You see that woman? Oh, she has the marks, the blessed marks of every one of my own people." And he gives her an assurance out of his own mouth. "Thy sins are forgiven." He states a fact. He says it the way it is. She loved much. He knows her heart. He knows her heart. And it is all coming out of her heart. It will come out of their hearts. Ah. Maybe it is all in your heart yet. Maybe it is all in your heart. You think nothing is coming out of your heart? Well, by those who are observant, yeah, then they can see. And more that is coming out of God's true people. And now the Lord, he is going to take it up. He is going to take it up for his oppressed church. What kind of church is that? A woman that is a sinner. "Thy sins are forgiven thee, woman. I'm going to pay for them. I'm going to provide the basis for that. And all what you deserve because of your wicked life, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be hung upon that cursed tree, and I will die for you, and I will die for you, and I will pay your debt, and there shall not be one drop left for you to pay. Forgiven, forgiven. That is everything from the beginning unto the end. Oh, they do not realize, but that even goes into the future. Oh, the forgiveness in this world that is only for the past. The forgiveness of the church that goes all the way to the end. It is securing the right of the salvation of the church of God, so that no man also themselves are not able to take it away, so that there is not a single sin that people can commit which will take away their right unto eternal life. Oh, the enemy, he rants. Who is this that forgiveth sins also, but he cannot touch the poor people of the Lord? No, because Christ, he is a shield. He is a shield around that woman. And she has not said one word that we can read in the Bible. Not a single word from the beginning unto the end. All her communication that is now evident in her life. And that enemy, oh, when he gives her that blessing, and when he assures her that her debt is gone, and that enemy is coming in, oh, you know what that is, people of the Lord. Because it is never long. It is never long. And the devil is there again. And then he is right there again. And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You do not need to fear anymore what this here enemy says. Because it means nothing. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, that blessed benefit, peace. What does Paul say? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? And now, Simon, you can speak about a sinful woman. And you are right, Simon. You are right. But here now is a forgiven woman. And that is so much more than you have, Simon. Oh, congregation, behold, a woman which was a sinner stood at his feet behind him weeping. Oh, she was convinced. She was convinced of her sin by his preaching, but she was not angry at him. No. No. She loved him. Do you love when a man is honest with you? Or do you become angry? Do you know what this woman does? She weeps quietly. Oh, be sure that our sins will find us out, every single one of them. From the moment that we begin to sin until the last breath of our life, all our sins are going to find us out. It is a debt, and debts must be paid, and they will be paid. Oh, that they would be bound upon us while we are here below, and before that it is forever too late. Because what will that weeping be? That weeping of eternity. Oh, learn, congregation, to weep here. To weep. Ask the Lord for a few tears. As this woman. Oh, she weeps. True religion is not loud. True religion takes place quietly. It takes place in the heart. It takes place in the inner chamber. Oh, go there. And consider your debt. The greatness of that debt. And whether you are able to make a small beginning to pay it all back, what we owe unto the Lord. Oh, the Lord knows what is living in the heart of every weeper. The guilt, the pollution, the love, the desire, the debt, the poverty. You don't have to say it all. You don't have to say it all. Because the Lord knows what is living in the heart of His weepers. Oh, that woman, she just went. She came up behind Him. And she stood there, weeping. And washing. And wiping. And anointing. As the enemy accused Him. As the enemy accused her. But He didn't talk to the enemy anymore. No, He left that enemy. And He turned unto this woman and comforted her. A weeping sinner, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O teach us to weep while there is still time to weep. Show us our debt. O Thou didst say of that woman, her sins are many. Lord, what can we say? What dost Thou see of us in us? Thou canst not say it different of us. But wilt Thou give us also that blessed word, and that they are forgiven? Remember us together. Give us to seek, to yearn for this most necessary blessing that we cannot miss between the cradle and the grave. We may acknowledge Thee for Thy help again. Forgive all that was amiss in speaking and in listening. Bless us with Thy favor. Help us in the labors of our hands, in the week to come, in catechizing, confession class, house visitation, and the mission evening. Lord, remember all the efforts that we may receive from Thee. A little token of Thy presence, nearness, favor, and blessing within all the labors, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 83, all stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven, and all that follows in Psalter number 83, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.